This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome to Open for Business, the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. This morning on the show, Nuraiza Shamsul Baharin and Mushrifa Malik, co-founders of Madcash, a fintech platform focused on providing zero-interest microfunds to women entrepreneurs. Starting back in April 2020, Madcash stands for Multiply Assist Donate Cash, and the startup funds and grows unbanked and underbanked women entrepreneurs, aiming to create an alternative credit scoring to increase their future bankability. The company runs a proprietary technological platform that allows donors to contribute and see whom their funds are helping at any time, and enables the seamless process of microfunding application, approval, onboarding, disbursement, and of course, repayment monitoring. To help take Madcash to the next stage, the startup announced a pre-Series A funding round of 5 million ringgit back in October 2023. The round was led by Artem Ventures with support from MSW Ventures as well as Scale Up Founders Fund. Today, you will learn about Madcash's mission, the business model that powers all of this, and what the future holds for this platform. And to help us with that, Aiza and Musha in the studio to talk about all this and more. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Aiza, it's good to see you again. I think the last time we did, it was about a year ago, actually. I think it was with UNFP at that point.
Yes.
Mush, you have just joined, or you've jumped on the train here, the Madcash train, and you're bringing a little bit of a legal background as well, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes, but good to see you in the studio.
Thank you.
Now, Aiza, let's take a step back, talk a little bit about why you got started in the first place back in 2020. The company was started in 2022, I understand, but the mission itself was April 2020.
Yes, so when we started United Nations, they were running a program called the Financial Innovation Lab. So I wanted to learn about being a fintech. And I had this idea of how, you know, Malaysians are so generous with their donation, but how can we make that donation last more than one round, you know, so instead of every day somebody's asking for a donation. So that was the general idea for Madcash, where if somebody gives me a donation, I help someone, and then can that person pay it back so that it goes on to help someone else. So that was just a simple idea that we had at that time.
So the idea was to help that money multiply and last longer, hence part of the name, right? If I understand this correctly, Aiza, you joined the Scale Up Accelerator program back in 2022. And back then, Madcash had only supported 83 women and you with just $20,000 in microfunds. And if we based on the October announcement with the pre-Series A funding round, it was mentioned that now you're managing around $700,000 in funds under management. So talk about a journey there. Talk to us about how the business has grown and changed over the last few years from that initial idea to where you are today.
I think the great thing about being an accelerator is that it really opens your mind, you know, because when I was started, we were just asking people for 100 ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 100. Then my mentors were like, why are you going around asking for 100? You know, like, how much do you need? I said, I need 1,000. Then ask for 1,000. So I did that. And then after that, I talked to like foundations, corporates, and then the banks. And then the banks were like, how much do you need? And then I'm like, and then we came up with the idea, 100K. But I got more than that. So every time I go to a funder and I talk about what we're doing, they offered us more than what we expected.
Mm-hmm.
So as I went along, I learned that actually you could ask for a bigger amount if you just go out there, you know, plan your plan and then present your proposal, and then people will actually be willing to give you more.
Right, so the scale of it has grown over the last four years.
Yes.
And maybe the what side out is 100 ringgit donations now are coming to 100,000 ringgit donations.
Yes.
And what when you say banks, Aiza, you're talking about banks donating part of their CSR budgets as opposed to providing you funding in the form of loans, correct?
Yes. So what has happened is that our central bank are asking the banks to work with the B40 and below, right? But for the banks, there's no real benefit in doing that, just because giving out a 2,000 ringgit loan and a 200,000 ringgit loan, it's the same amount of work. But then they have all the CSR funds. So if they give it to us, what we do is that we incubate these ladies. You know, we help them at their early stages. And then if they were like a little bit unbankable, then they become more bankable. So that in 2 years' time, we pass the ladies back to them. Here, they're all grown up. please give them more funding. That's what we do.
Yeah, you're presenting an earlier part of the funnel, utilizing the CSR budgets there. And to help you in this journey, so things have changed, and part of that change is now you have a co-founder, Mushrifa Malik, and her extensive legal background. Mush, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what do you bring to the table here at Matcash?
Okay, so for myself, I'm actually a legal practitioner and I've been a lawyer for over 16 years. But Aiza and I have actually been friends, and I've also been her lawyer for her software development company, because Aiza is a serial entrepreneur. And through that journey, we've actually developed a lot of trust as well as friendship. So when she started Matcash, I was coming on board to the company as a pro bono legal advice, just seeing the business. But having seen the impact and the work that they do on the ground, that's really inspired me to come on board. So when they were looking for a co-founder sometime last year, so she asked if I wanted to come on board. So the answer was an immediate yes.
And how long had you been working with Matcash itself?
Officially as a co-founder as of last year, but I've been working on the idea together with Aiza for at least a year before that.
And you've known her for much longer, correct?
We've known each other for at least 7 years, yeah.
Now, with co-founders, it's important to complement each other, right? Because you want complementary skill sets in order to really power your growth in the long term, right? You don't both want to be good at the same thing. You want to complement each other. Mush, how do you complement what Aiza already brings to the table?
Because the idea and the birth of Matcash itself is all coming from Aiza. So I think she is still the face of the company, as well as in terms of the strategy and where the company direction is at. So with my legal background, I look at the governance, because of course we're dealing with microfunding and giving out microloans, where there's a lot of legal implications that we need to look at. So that's where I am coming in to look at the governance as well as on the operational side. So basically, Aiza is the face of the company, and then we are the engine that runs the powers the house.
So I do the fun stuff and then I leave the rest to Mush.
More or less. But we enjoy our role, so.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, Mush, your official role is Chief Operating Officer, to complement Aiza's Chief Executive Officer. Now, things obviously aren't the same as they were 4 years ago, Aiza. The company is growing, you've got funding now, and it's going to enable you to reach a lot of your, I guess, your aspirations. I think early on when I was reading the website, the initial idea was to just to touch 1 million women entrepreneurs through education or microfunding. Now the vision, I think, is much bigger than that, correct?
Yeah. So what has happened is that when we started giving out money, we realized that it's not enough just to give money, you know, because there's a lot of challenges that women face in general. So sometimes it is having a mentor to help you out when you need help. It's strengthening your business knowledge, strengthening your financials specifically, not just by giving the funding, but also by creating greater understanding as to how to make yourself bankable or investable. So these are the things that we do.
And this Friday is International Women's Day, and we are 2 days from that. It's now Wednesday. Before we go into a few messages, talk to us a little bit about the kind of challenges you see, Aiza, women in this particular bracket that you're working with face in order for them to become entrepreneurs and find financial security.
So for them, usually it starts either as an accident, like they had a family together and then somehow the husband is no longer the breadwinner, right? So especially during the COVID, we saw so many cases of something happened in the family. So they have to step up to do it. So most of the time, it's on a trial and error basis. So this is my first time I see something really popular, I do the same thing, right? So then when we come in, we look at how can we strengthen that so that you're not living day to day. You know, because if you live day to day, then life is going to be really tough. And the next time another pandemic happens, you're going to be stuck in the same loop again. So then that's where we come in. We look at, even when we choose the people that we want to work with, we look at people who have a dream to be bigger than where they are. And then how can we help that dream? So when we talk to our funders as well, by giving a small micro loan, can that help make that a reality? And we have seen over and over where it does work. And it doesn't work 100% of the time. You know, so like today we found out that one of our ladies died, unfortunately, of cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
And then another person got bankrupt. So things happen along the way, right?
And Mush, is there anything you want to add to that before we go into a few messages?
I think in terms of the support that we give as well, it's an overall thing. Because I think when ISA initially started, it was just looking at whether or not the money can be multiplied. But then, as she also mentioned, that women entrepreneurs face challenges which are unique to women entrepreneurs. So for them to grow, we realised that they also need to learn how to conduct the business, even on the basic level, like, you know, financial planning and things like that. And then, of course, with the seed capital, then they also get the mentor to guide them in their business. As well as when we build that as well, we realise that women need community. So the one thing that we're building is really the sense of community, because entrepreneurship, as we know, is a lonely journey. A lot of them do businesses at home, they see their family, and then maybe they see their customers for delivery. But if they have an issue in terms of the business, they really don't have anybody to consult. So as we're building this, we are also adding all this along the way, like the mentorship, as well as the building of the community is also key to what we are delivering on the ground.
Aiza, Mush, we've got to go into a few messages. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about whether you believe you've hit product market fit, as well as how else you are supporting these women on the ground. Folks, I've been speaking with Noor Aiza Shamsul Baharin and Mushrifa Malik, co-founders of Madcash, a fintech platform focused on providing zero-interest microfunds to women entrepreneurs. I'm Roshan Gainas, and you're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here at BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossPalay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary. Baba from Malacca. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Open for Business is powered by BossPalay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Gunnison, and this morning I've been speaking with Noor Aiza Shamsul Baharin and Mushrifa Malik, co-founders of Madcash, a fintech platform focused on providing zero-interest microfunds to women entrepreneurs. Aiza, since you've started, now 4 years it's been since you've been on this journey, how has your understanding, or maybe even perhaps your view of the problem that you're dealing with here, changed or evolved?
So a lot of things... I think I've learned along my way, and I've been really inspired by the women that I meet, because, you know, you think your life is tough, and then you meet ladies who are just happy. You know, they're happy, they're doing what they can, and what they need is just a little help. But one of the things that I've realized is that simple things can help make a difference. So, for example, like when we look at the government giving assistance under STR, for example, if you have a registered business, you don't qualify for that. So we're thinking, why is it connected? You know, you're trying to make your business a legitimate one, and then the fact that you need some social help from the government, it should not be related, right? So if we remove that requirement, then more people will be able to register their business and make it into a legalized business, so that you can see the contribution of women to the economy. But you cannot tie it to whether I receive welfare or not. You know, so that's one of the things that we see. And also we're looking at ways where people can collaborate, because sometimes I think if you just run your own small business, it's just that big. Right, but if you work in a community, you build that whole community, then you can see more things happening, so that people are able to support themselves instead of just relying on the next help coming.
And speaking of building the business now, the community element, I think something we're going to come back to in a little bit. But when you were starting out, right, this idea back in 2020, and you formalized it in 2022, what was the biggest challenge that you faced building Madcash in the early days? I can imagine maybe finding buy-in, or was that not a key challenge?
Yeah, it was like, I think there is no denying being at the right time, right place, and the right product, you know, because it was the pandemic. And then we got access to an academy, so it allowed us to, and we got some funding, so it allowed us to really position ourselves as the people who help out these ladies who are struggling during the pandemic, right? So it was really, really the right time, right place, and right product. So because of that, we're able to go out and test it out. And also, I think, because there's many elements that make up Madcash, so it's not just the beneficiary, it is the getting the funding, it's also having an academy there, and the mentors. So people had time to support other women, because everybody's like doing nothing at that point in time, right? So they are more than happy to help. So I think it's all this coming together, building it into one ecosystem. And then our goal would be to continue to to cater to the ecosystem. So in the beginning, it was just the growing pains, like what is it that we're teaching? Who is it that we're working with? You know, what help do they need? So learning all that. And then also when we keep going down to the ground and we see, okay, what do we do with the men? You know, we don't want to isolate them, so, but we're not sure yet how to incorporate them into the lives. And one of the things we also saw were the children who are left behind. So we're talking about, you know, like getting people out of poverty. We need to also look at the kids. Can we talk to them when they are young? Because that's the real way to break that cycle, right? If you're already in your 30s, it's too late, you know?
Now, we've mentioned product, you've mentioned product a few times. There was and to you, it was right place, right time. And you've been on a roller coaster ride. Is that fair to say? You've been on a little bit of a roller coaster ride the last few years?
Yeah, like you're on that wave, and then the wave is pushing you forward.
You're riding that wave there. Yes. Have you achieved product market fit, do you think?
Yeah, I would say so, because like based on the funders that we've seen so far, we found a fit somewhere where people feel that what we do is important enough to, you know, allocate some of their CSR funds. Mm. And also we've been lucky enough to find those who would support our journey going beyond that. Right. So right now we work with women entrepreneurs. We're looking at, can we support gig workers? Can we then end up helping you buy a motorcycle so that motorbike can not only help you do business, but also help you take your kids to school, you know, help you buy things. So we're looking at moving on to the next level. So if you cannot wake up at 3 a.m. to make your nasi lemak every day, would you rather be doing some kind of gig work?
And perhaps if I could add a little bit to that, because I think initially our initial concern when we started was also whether or not we are going to be competing with the banks. Mm. I think, you know, because we're also looking at giving out microfunding, only that, of course, ours is at 0% interest. But then we realised there is this gap in the market, like what Aiza was explaining earlier, because it doesn't make commercial sense for the banks to be giving out 2,000 ringgit loan when they can be giving out 200,000 ringgit loan. And the amount of work that they have to do for both is the same with very little return for 2,000 ringgit. So I think that's where we came in, and where now we are actually working with the financial institutions, complementing what they already have on the ground, and we're not really competing with them because it's a different segment and a different market altogether.
I guess one of the concerns or one of the risks here is that you are essentially relying on the CSR budgets of these big companies, right? And we'll talk a little bit about the supply or the sourcing of funding that and how you see that going forward. But what's important, that I think that you mentioned, was you're not competing with the bank. So it's a different demographic, correct? Tell us a little bit more about this demographic that you're serving.
Okay, so we started with anyone who was affected by the pandemic, right? So we didn't look at you if you were B40 or not. It's just like, why do you need the money? What will the money do, and how can that help you grow your business? Mm. So as we got more funders, there are specific requirements from the funders. So the funders wanted us to work with a certain group of people with a certain income. So we go down to that level as well. And there are also funders who wanted us to work with maybe a refugee group. So there are certain things that we do in there. So I think I think one of our stories went out, and then people were like, oh, they're going to get into trouble because they're giving out a loan without a license and all this stuff, right? Because we are 0%. We're not making money from that loan, right? So then it comes to the issue of how do we sustain ourselves beyond this? So definitely the funds, as long as we get it back, we will always have the funds that we can give out as a loan. So we're looking at building our group. If today you're taking your classes for free, would you go to a MadCash Academy to learn more things? You know, we're looking at if right now I'm spending a lot of money trying to babysit the ladies, can I profile you better? Can I use AI to make sure that, you know, the people who come on board are able to pay based on the data that we have for the last 3-4 years? So this is what we're spending money on, to build that technology, to build the AI function of it, so that we know if we can profile better, our cost of managing will be less.
So to be clear, you're not making money on the loans themselves,
no.
Right? There's 0%. You're not charging any fees on top of that. You're not a lender, or you're not participating in a licensed legal lending activity. then what's the business model at play here?
Okay, so then what we're doing is that we're growing entrepreneurs. So we're looking at the micro and nano entrepreneurs. We're looking at people who do their business offline and getting them to register their business, to open a bank account, so that, again, the whole idea is, are women contributing to the economy? And they are, right? How do we register that? How do we show that? So when funders come on board, they give us the money to run the loan part. But the main thing is that they give us the funds to actually run the entrepreneurship development program. So the loan is just a tool that we use so that we can practice what we learn in the entrepreneurship program.
So in practice, you're an academy, you're a training institution for women entrepreneurs or micro entrepreneurs. That's where the money is being generated.
Yes, but when we go out of Malaysia, like we are about to launch in Tajikistan. So when we go to Tajikistan, we go in and we provide our platform first. So the platform goes in, the platform helps Tajikistan lady be profiled, and then it helps to our partner there to be able to see how their funding is helping the women. So when we do that, eventually what we'll have is that we'll know ladies in Tajikistan, what business do they do? Ladies in Malaysia, what business do they do? My next target is Indonesia. So what business do they do? Because these are ladies who the government will not have data on because they're not registered businesses. So we're doing that data play. You know, if I know what every micro nano woman is doing in the world, then I will have access to help more women.
But the big data play, it really has a large execution risk, right? In order for you to, you need scale.
Yes.
Or you need to be able to profile groups in a very, in a manner that then provides some kind of actionable insight. What are you hoping that this will do in the longer term? Because ultimately, you've got a pre-series A funding round of 5 million ringgit, and it's not just to go and develop entrepreneurs there. You need to eventually make a return on this money.
Yes.
How are you going to do that?
So I believe that there's a, you know, there's a formula to actually getting a nano micro entrepreneur to grow bigger. Mm-hmm. So there is a formula, there is a process for that to happen. And then I believe that women everywhere around the world will benefit from the same kind of process. So this is what I have a hypothesis. I'm trying to prove that hypothesis that even in Tajikistan it works, even in Surabaya it'll work. Right. So this is what we're gathering. So as we grow, we are formalizing our business model, we're formalizing also the processes that needs to be in place. Because when we deal with women, we're also dealing with the emotions of that woman. We're dealing with all the other things that she takes on top of herself, right? So it's not just running a business, it's running the family, it's mental wellness. So there's all kinds of stuff that falls into place. So if we have that formula, I think, you know, we'll see women everywhere grow.
Aiza, Mush, we've got more to get into, including a little bit more on how that funding is deployed that you have, and where this business is going to go in the longer term. I mean, you've already identified Indonesia as a possible market, so we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. Folks, I've been speaking with Nur Aiza Shamsul Baharin and Mushrifa Malik, co-founders of Madcash, a fintech platform focused on providing zero-interest microfunds to women entrepreneurs. I'm Roshan Karnesan, keep you here at BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Karnesan, and this morning I've been speaking with Nur Aiza Shamsul Baharin and Mushrifa Malik, co-founders of Madcash, a fintech platform focused on providing zero-interest microfunds to women entrepreneurs. Now, earlier we were talking a little bit about the business model, right? And the business model here isn't on the loans or the microfunding you're providing. You're not charging any interest on that. It is on the essentially a fees that can be collected from a training academy, from entrepreneur development. That seems to be where this business is heading to, although the business model seems to still be in the works. Is that fair to say, Aiza?
Yeah, I think like before the big funding came in, we were already breaking even, right? But we ran on a skeleton crew that I only had 3 people running the show and all that. So now that we've received the funding, we've seen the need to grow the company. I actually have a CFO, like amazingly enough, because I've been doing my own accounts for the longest time ever. So then, so it's been really exciting to see that grow. And also because now we have someone who takes care of the product development specifically. So looking at that, so we're looking at how can we take this product further, right? Mm-hmm. So we're still maybe figuring out whether we want to be a product company, a fintech per se, or do we want to look into fintech plus education, fintech plus mad market, so it could be.
Tell me a little bit more about that. Mad market. Well, yeah. What do you mean by that?
So we've seen in Sabah especially, we've seen that when we farm, we fund the cocoa farmers, right? So they have cocoa and then they sell their cocoa to people who are doing cakes, people who are doing chocolates. So we saw, oh, look at this. Interestingly enough, we have an ecosystem that works within the community itself. So then we're thinking, can we make this bigger? Can I start asking everybody who's making cake buy from our farmer so that we're supporting ladies in our ecosystem first? And then the next step would be, because they're challenged in Sabah, how do we take our product from Sabah to go to Semenanjung, to go to Taiwan? So the cost of shipping is so high, right? So that's my next problem to solve. If anybody out there knows how to solve it, please reach out to me.
Just for a sense of clarity here, you're looking at into different products, but today, as it stands, what is the product mix
So right now, what we have is the platform that you were talking about initially. So the platform does application. It allows people to come in, get their loans dispersed through the platform. And then we track not only your repayment, but also how you are. Are you happier today compared to when you were like happily doing your business part-time? You're a full-time person, you're employing people, are you happier? So we look at the happiness index, we look at the impact in terms of financial growth, economic growth, so things like that. So this is a platform that tracks it so that you can see every dollar that you put in, what impact does it create? So that's one thing that the platform does. So also the platform works as a way for us to enter another country, because if we're looking at should we invest money in that country, what we want to do is find a partner who believes in women like we do, and then we teach them how to raise funds. So that if we raise funds in that country, it'll be used for that country, and then we take only the platform fee until we're ready to set up our business there. Right. So that's one way. And then also we're looking at having our ladies grow to the point that they are willing to invest in themselves and pay for their own education. So that would be the next step to earning a stable revenue.
Now, 4 years in, can you tell us where you are in terms of revenue?
So right now, I think this year we should comfortably close at the 7 level.
Seven-figure level.
Yes.
And that's in terms of revenue. And how are you balancing the need for growth versus profitability, right? That's something you were mentioning a little earlier.
Yeah. So definitely we're going back to that, because I always believe that you must run a business that breaks even at the very least, right? So from the get-go. So then that's what we're working on. And also we find that we need more funds so that we can give more to our people. So if they receive 2K from us, but the bank still won't give them money, so we need to be able to give 5K, to give 10K. So we're also raising our own funds to have at least 20 million ringgit so that we can have more in there. Right now we have about 3 million.
So you also want to help grow with the entrepreneurs on your platform.
Yes.
And if they can't get that financing to grow, then maybe you're the person or the company to do that. It could even maybe be other partners, like other P2P financing, other financing firms out there.
Yes.
Because you are looking for partners to grow, correct?
Yes, and also so that our ladies are able to grow, right? So that we know that we're not going to ever be competing with the big guys, but we just want to give something back.
But ideally, we also would like to be able for them to then take on a loan somewhere else, with the banks and all that, because perhaps at this stage, they are not able to do that because of the level of income, because of the lack of profile, that perhaps the bank don't have the financial details for them to give up the financing. But, through MadCash, we're hoping to be able to build that for them.
So the big thing with all these platforms that are essentially profiling different demographics in terms of their ability to make an income and, you know, build a business, is that ultimately it's creating fintech opportunities, right? Whether it's your ability to sell early wage access or provide alternative financing, whether from one of the licensed, other licensed players, the non-bank players. So there are a few things that at play here that in terms of where the business can go. But ultimately, when you've got to manage your own demand and supply for funds, right? Yeah, there's only so much money you can give out, and you've got to raise this money from the CSR budgets of corporates and banks out there. It does seem like that could be a key risk for you, given that, you know, CSR budgets can be at the whim and fancy of what's the current hot thing, right? If suddenly people's, the zeitgeist changes, you know, the money could go elsewhere. How are you managing that particular concern?
Yeah, so right now, like I said, we have about 3 million, which is good enough to run what we're running. But let's say now we can run that 3 million will support 1,000 people. So I'm looking at what does it take to go to 100,000 people, right? So then we're looking at the numbers of 20 million. That would make it comfortable, because when we talk about these loans, they come back, right? So it becomes a perpetual fund. It's not like a normal CSR where I get money this year, I finish everything, then next year I ask again for the same money. So I don't need that. What I need would be, the ladies to be able to pay for themselves. If we run the program, are they able to pay for themselves? Can that be a revenue stream for us so that we are not dependent on CSR money all the time?
So you want to raise a certain amount of money, but aside from that, you want the funds to be sustainable. You want the money to come back at some point and redisperse that.
Yes.
So kind of like a bank without being a bank, without charging interest as well.
Yeah, I mean, one day we'll be MyCash Bank for women, you know, one day.
Yeah. So now the other thing is, in order for that to be perpetual, to be sustainable, it's going to matter who you give that money to.
Exactly.
So how do you assess the entrepreneurs and determine if they will or won't get funding and if they will repay?
We actually go through a strict profiling process. So when they are interested, they will apply for our program through our platform. From there, we will actually apply our algorithm to do the first layer of selection to see whether or not we would think they'd be a good borrower or otherwise. Mm-hmm. After that, then we will also conduct interviews together with the site visit. And then we will then enroll them in our program. So even once they enroll in our program, it's not necessarily that the program must come with a loan. So then it's again another process for them to apply for the loan itself, where we will also see what are their business needs and what are their financial needs as well.
So it used to be based on my gut feeling, like should I or should I not? And 50% of the time I'm wrong, you know, 50% of the time.
And that's, I guess, part of the reason why you've raised this funding round, the pre-series A funding round, right? Because there's going to be technological advancements, or at least money invested in the tech. And I presume the algorithm as well, and how you're developing that. Let's talk a little bit about how that money is going to be invested then.
Yeah. So then When I started looking at my data, so I'm only looking at the people that I fund. Then I meet this data scientist to tell me, okay, how many people have you rejected? Let's say, in order for me to have 500 now, I rejected 2005. So he's saying, look at all the data. Look at all that data and then figure out what was your selection criteria, and then run it again and see in the 2005 that you rejected, who would you have taken in if you had run this, right? And then also the ones that we rejected. So now we've seen a pattern. So we've seen certain industries we may not take, because we've seen that, it fails. And then we've also seen, if we take random people from social media and all that, it's very hard, because the committee that we work with, they have to see your face in order for them to pay you, right? So now we work in communities, because it's easier that way, you know, so that people are, checking up with each other, so you know when somebody has passed away, you know, so you know things like that, and you know that their business is still running.
5 million ringgit will be deployed in tech, in market expansion, also things like marketing and operations as well. Tell us a little bit about, you know, other things that maybe we haven't touched on in terms of how you're going to be driving growth for the MadCash platform in the longer run.
Yeah, so I would say that we've received a lot of interest from different ASEAN countries, because I also travel around quite a bit and I talk about Metcash. So most people are surprised that you can run a business at 0%. You know, that's the first thing that people don't believe that will happen. So, but also as a company, we're also looking at, there are many ways in because we're trying to be Sharia compliant, right? No, not we're trying, we are Sharia compliant. So there are other ways that we can actually position the loans. It could be as a leasing model, it could be as a buying purchase, right? So for example, I buy the oven for you, then I can make a little bit of profit on top of that, as long as both parties know and both parties are agreeable. So there are many ways that we're looking at. Now that we have a bigger team, I could do that. When it was just me, I just, like, simple as possible, 0%. You know?
Just deploying the funds and earning money through training, essentially.
Yes, but also to prove the point that a little amount can help grow a business. So that was the first thing that we were trying to prove. So now that we have done it for 3 years, we can show data that this works, you know, because I'm an engineer by background, so everything is data driven, right? So as long as I can see the data, I can see it works. And then last year was the first time I met them. So when I met them, it was like, for me, a culture shock, you know, because I was like, I'm a KL person, you know. I go to somewhere where there's chickens, I'm like, oh my God, I can't even get out of the car, you know, so things like that. So it was, but it's amazing to see, you know, it's such an inspiring thing to see what people are doing out there and how they are surviving, and they're happy, you know.
When you go on the ground, definitely you see a lot of the inspiring stories of the women that, you know, that have gone to our program. We've had one where she was not so literate, but because of, you know, her wanting to learn, she actually got somebody else to read out the exercises for her and then to write the answers and then to come back and discuss. So these are the kind of stories that it really inspires us to really go to the ground and do what we do on a daily basis.
Now, part of this business is always, you always have to be fundraising in terms of the CSR donations that you're getting. Sure. But on the other side of that, fundraising, because you've done your pre-Series A, that makes me think that there's going to be a Series A. So are you still in fundraising mode, and what for? What's that? This, if you're raising funds, what do you want to use that for?
Yeah, so because currently when we go to different countries, like I said, we are raising funds for that country specifically.
Understood.
Right, so that way we teach them how we do it in Malaysia, and we try to do that the same thing. So, but definitely our investors are pushing for Series A, so we are looking at that, and we've been talking to a lot of people. I think one of the criteria in order for you to raise the next fund is for us to move away from the CSR model. So we need to show that we are able to generate income without CSR funding. So this is where we're focusing our effort on, and we're doing that.
So that's the next stage for you then, right?
Yes.
To move
yes.
away from CSR funding. Yes. What would replace that source of funding then? Are you talking about taking market debt financing and then?
No, because I think the funds that we have is okay, and then we'll probably be getting more funds coming in. Mm-hmm. So what we need would be to cover the operations costs. So when we look at that, can we push Metcash Academy to be the main, at least the main funnel for people to come in? So they come into the academy, and then when we see great potential, we fund you. So we might even look at investing in you instead of giving a loan. If you're going to have problems paying us, we invest. You know, so then we make money together. And then another thing we're also looking at is, like, can we build an ecosystem having a mad market? Can we push our platform to other countries so that it becomes platform as a service? So there's many, there's multiple revenue streams. So we're not just depending on one. So the CSR funding is good for as long as women are top of mind. Mm. You know, if we're going for elections, it'll be the best thing.
But what really caught my attention there, Aiza, was the whole, if you can't, you know, a different way of paying it back or to, is to invest, right? Instead of you paying back the loan, we buy equity in this business that you're building, which means you're building this little bit of this funnel, essentially, where you can then, with your profiling, assess businesses that might do well, and then you may want to be on the ground floor. It may not be the next Carsum or Grab, but there are plenty of businesses that make plenty of money that are on the ground level.
Yes. I mean, like, even when we first started, when we funded someone 1,000 and she made 11,000, we're like, are we in the wrong business? It takes, you know, how many months for us to make 11,000, right? So that's the one of the things. And also, I've seen models, like, now that I've traveled quite a bit, I've seen models in India where they give out the loan as a grant, but they get 99% payback because it's called a returnable grant. So I think sometimes when people take a loan to run a business and the business is not doing well, they feel that they don't need to pay the loan. But when they take a loan because they needed the money, they pay back. So I don't know, this is another theory I'm going to try. If our investors don't get nervous, I'm going to try and see if that might work.
So what are your long-term plans or ambitions for this business?
What we go around and talk about is how we are building today's, where we're building tomorrow's bankable women today, okay. Right? So I guess the next step would be if we can build a women bank. Mm-hmm. I would say that would be the ideal for me.
Yes, agreed. So that is really our big, hairy, audacious goal. So again, we're not in the business of money lending. You know, yes, we do training, but really it's the data. And that is what we are hoping to be able to be our foundation for what we want to be, which is a bank for women and one day.
Okay, with that in mind, usually I like to wrap up the conversation by asking about exit, but Aiza, I'm not going to ask this time around. We'll save that for the next time you're in the seat across from me. But thank you so much, both of you, for your time today.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Folks, I was speaking with Noor Aiza Shamsul-Baharin and Mushrifa Malik, co-founders of MadCash, a fintech platform focused on providing zero-interest microfunds to women entrepreneurs. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on the BFM app. You can also find our shows on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast players. Just search for Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kanesan. You've been listening to Open for Business. Keep it here at BFM 89.9, the business station.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bosbelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.